Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Welcome to our program. This is Isaac Crockett. On this day, 9/11, we're remembering all that has happened to our country. And it was encouraging to me to see last night, I saw a picture that was circulating on social media and in some articles from the Washington Examiner, a picture of President Donald Trump and his cabinet praying before they went into a meeting about Hurricane Irma. And on this anniversary of what happened 16 years ago on 9/11, I was actually talking with the vice president of chapter development for American Pastors Network just earlier today, Dr. Keith Wiebe. And he was reminding me that he and my dad and several other pastors were actually at the White House on 9/11 when the plane hit the Pentagon. Those pastors were evacuated, and without knowing it, what was going on, they began praying. This prayer meeting formed, and they realized later that many of the people who joined them in the prayer group were actually White House staff members, had joined in this emergency prayer meeting. It's a great reminder that prayer should be the natural result to any sort of tragic situation. My name is Isaac Crockett, and I want to welcome you again, and I want to bring in and welcome Sam Rohr and Dave Kistler, our co-hosts today. With so much going on right now with the hurricane, with Hurricane Irma and all that's happening to our country today, we'll try to cover as much as we can in the time that we have. And in just a little bit, Lord willing, we'll be welcoming in our special guest speaker from New York City, Pastor Matt Recker, to talk to us. But Dave, I want to go to you. I know just a few days ago, you were asking Gary on this program, what in the world is going on? And I guess I'd like to kind of ask that to you. You're out in the West where the wildfires are raging. You've been in communication with family members in Houston. You're in constant communication right now with folks down in South Florida. Could you maybe give us a recap of some of the recent natural disasters that have hit our country and just been hitting all over the globe lately?
Sure. Be glad to, Isaac. Yeah, I'm in the Northwest United States, and there have been wildfires in Southern Oregon. There have been wildfires in Portland. Of course, I was about 8 miles from one of the fires that was most being noted on the news last week, and that's the Eagle Creek fire. That is now somewhat contained. The winds actually shifted. They normally blow down the Columbia River Gorge and blow toward the city of Portland. And the fire, of course, was being fueled by those high winds. The wind ceased, and I believe they ceased in response to the prayers of God's people, and actually started blowing west, which brought a somewhat abrupt halt to the progression of that fire. It's still not completely contained, but people have been allowed to move back in. And it's a dramatically different situation here in the Northwest currently. Fire still burning in the southern part of Oregon. But of course, Irma came ashore last night in southern Florida, and I have been in contact with a friend of mine with Miami-Dade law enforcement down there. There's quite a bit of devastation, guys. And then, of course, other things going on around the country as well that we could talk about. But all of this is coming together at a time that's causing people to ask what I believe is a very legitimate question. And that is this a sign of judgment from God? Is this a wake-up call? And guys, I think it's more than appropriate that we're talking about this on the 9/11 anniversary, 16 years ago, when the consummate wake-up call came to the United States. So appropriate timing, Isaac.
Amen. And you know, Sam, in that regard, you had mentioned just not that long ago when the solar eclipse came that we experienced as a nation, you had mentioned that this could well be a warning from God. And now, as Dave pointed out, so many disasters have hit us in those following days. And now, of course, the anniversary of 9/11. What do you see as significant in the timing of all of these things as it relates to even looking at the solar eclipse that you had kind of mentioned in the past?
Well, Isaac, I think it's appropriate to ask that question. And as Dave said, if people are not asking this question, we say they really should. Why do we say that? Well, because God himself says that. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is the verse we often quote. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray and seek my face. That phrase or that verse many people recognize. What they don't often recognize is the verse that comes right before it. 7:13, and that's where God says in answer to Solomon's prayer, when I withhold rain and I do those pestilence, those things that are natural disaster type things, those things that are under the purveyance of what we would call Mother Nature. They're not Mother Nature. It's Father God, Creator. And he did these things. And what God says, when I adjust these things, when I do things that affect how you live and affect the growing of your crops, so those kinds of things, he says, I do this. When I do that, then he says, then when you see these things, if my people then. So God's people really must be looking at these kinds of actions, because God says to do that, and we really fall down short if we don't. Now, the solar eclipse we did talk about, is that a sign from heaven? And we believe it is. All the way through Scripture, we believe that the covering of the sun is something that's sent as a sign to the Gentile world in specifics. The moon is used as a delivery of messaging to the Jews. That's why they're on the lunar calendar and other things that fall into that. But there's a 40-day period after that eclipse. That is a period of time that in a Jewish calendar, they blow the shofar every day right now that leads right up to the Feast of Trumpets on September 23rd. Those 40 days, I've been saying, is keep our eyes out for significant things that could well occur in that 40-day of warning. When the Jews are meeting, and this is a 40 days of repentance. My question is, American people, are we repenting? Are we looking up and saying to God and above, Lord, what are you trying to say? And of course, Isaac, in our nation, we've walked away from God. We really have. It's not a wonder that God is trying to get our attention. That's my prayer, that we would, in fact, look up.
Wow. And so whether this is a sign, I think we see that all these things are pointing us to God and a time for us to repent. I don't know, Dave, in just a few moments here that we have, is there any correlation you would like to show with this and the rumors of war going on that might tie in with some of the biblical prophecies we read?
Well, Isaac, the passage you just cited is from Matthew 24, where the scripture says, in the last days there'll be wars and rumors of wars. That's actually tribulation territory. We've already entered the tribulation, or people will have entered at that time. So that's tribulation territory. But obviously, if we begin to see those things unfolding, it is a time for us to say, hey, what's going on, and ask some very serious questions.
When we come back, we'll be talking about these disasters, but also remembering 9/11. We promise to never forget.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap Today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information as Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
In the aftermath of the terrorist attacks on September 11th, 2001, we as a nation pledged and promised to never forget. And so right now we like to do that on our program, is to remember what happened. And we're inviting in Pastor Matt Recker from Heritage Baptist Church. He has planted 3 churches in New York City. He's been ministering there and as a pastor in New York City since 1984. And I was realizing that he's been pastoring there almost as long as I've been alive, which is amazing. And I did not realize he was old enough to have pastored that long, actually. And not only did he see these things, though, firsthand as a New Yorker on 9/11, God was able to use him and use his ministry to bring a focus, a revival, and prayer for the people of New York City at that time. Pastor Matt, thank you so much for being with us today.
Hey, my pleasure. You either make me sound old or I sound young, so glad to be here.
When I was telling my wife how long you had ministered in New York City, she said the same thing. She said, I didn't know that he was that old, but I do know that we've enjoyed your ministry. I've heard you preach a number of times, and I've heard you talk some about this. And Matt, I would like to just start out by asking you what it was like as you heard about these attacks or found out about them. your initial reaction, your initial response. It must have been confusing at the time. Did you know at first that it was war, that it was terrorism? Were you worried that there would be other places in New York City attacked? What did you go through when you saw it unfolding?
Our church has a clear view of the World Trade Center. Our church meets in Manhattan, and we were actually not even able to meet in our normal meeting place the Sunday after 9/11 because we were still within a zone that was cordoned off. So it definitely affected us as just far as our meeting place. But I live in Queens. So the way I found out about it, I was actually at home and I was scheduled for jury duty that day. It doesn't sound very exciting. And a deacon called me, one of our deacons said, turn on the television. And so I did and watched it. And just like many millions of other Americans, you know, and my initial response was, at first I thought maybe just some little private plane went off course and flew into the Trade Center. But then, of course, as things unfolded, you knew there was something severe. We were under attack by Islamic terrorism, as well as my initial response was, I believe that God is waking us up and the wrath of man is being allowed to attack our nation in order to turn us as a people back to God.
Matt, let me ask you this. In the immediate aftermath of 9/11, there was a lot of prayer. There were a lot of gatherings, even in the middle of the day, at least on the part of North Carolina where I live, and even out in the Northwest, where I happened to be when the 9/11 attacks occurred. There was a focus on God and what some called a little bit of perhaps even a revival taking place. What did you see right there in New York in the very focal point of the attacks themselves?
Well, what I saw was a definite increase of patriotism, of national unity, and a respect for God, even in Manhattan. I felt like walking in Manhattan was like walking in a funeral parlor. There was like a hush of reverence. People received tracts in a way that they normally had not received them. But that did not, for us anyway, last long. And I don't believe there was any true spiritual revival after 9/11 myself.
Well, Matt, let me follow up on that again, because, you know, my sense is now I'm sitting here in Pennsylvania right now. I happened to be in Pittsburgh at that day. I was on an education committee meeting that was when I was in the House of Representatives. At that point, we were out there and the meeting wasn't held and we were waiting and saying, what's going on? And all of a sudden we got that same message. And there was that sense of awe, I guess, that went down across this country. And I sensed then and the days afterwards, just like you, there was a seriousness that gripped our people. There was a concern for God that developed. People went back to church when they hadn't been in church for a long time. And as you were citing, a sense of patriotism. But in that window, you so already cited, you didn't think a lot that came out of that. But how did you respond as a pastor there in New York City, knowing you were right there in the heart of it? How did you seek to go about addressing that need and that opportunity that existed with people? What happened? What did you do?
Yeah. So in the midst of that tragedy, some exciting ministry opportunities developed. So first, I would just say personally, we had people in our church who were in those buildings or right in the vicinity of those buildings, and some who even lived there. So we ministered to them. We had one family that have a small boy, and she was pregnant. They live right across from the World Trade Center. And when they saw the first plane hit, not knowing what was really happening, they just watched. And they started seeing people jumping out of those buildings. So we ministered to them, prayed with them, encouraged them. And, you know, their desire was to get out of the city, which they did, you know. So there was that kind of ministry that happened. And by the way, that family had to evacuate the city, a pregnant mom with a small boy. They just took their stuff with a wallet in their hand. And then the buildings came down covered with soot, got on a boat, you know, and evacuated over to Jersey Side. Then on the other hand, the other side of it, on the Saturday after 9/11, I went into the city because at first they said, don't even come in, you know, because unless you're a rescue worker or whatever, don't come in. So I respected that. But I went in on on Friday probably, and then on Saturday. I was walking by the Salvation Army on 14th Street, and I saw dog food piled high on pallet after pallet after pallet. And I have no problem with caring for pets, and I love my animals too. But my heart cried out for the souls of New Yorkers. And my heart was that the spiritual need in New York City was just as great on September 11th or September 12th as it was on September 9th or September 10th, you know. I saw the need as the same. But this just gave an opportunity. And then evangelist Tom Farrell called me. And then through just connecting with him and all of the people that he knows, arranged for a special gospel service as well. We had an evangelistic meeting scheduled with Dr. Ron Comfort from Ambassador Baptist College just shortly after that. That was already scheduled. So Dr. Farrell worked with Dr. Comfort. And literally hundreds of people came to the city. I would say probably 500 to 700 people came, tracts were written, gifts were given, the gospel went out. I mean, we probably passed out 150,000 gospel tracts. We did see people saved from them. We had a gospel service. Dr. Farrell preached the singing, and we had probably 1,200 to 1,300 people attend that service in Manhattan, and Governor Pataki came to it. So, you know, we did those kinds of things as well.
You know, Matt, you had mentioned the respect, the unity, the reverence that was there. And I wonder, you said that, you know, it kind of dissipated shortly after. What do you think? Have we really remembered 9/11 and the effects of it? I'm thinking especially of the younger generations, my age and a lot younger even. Do you think we've forgotten? And do you think that there's important details that need to be taught to our American children?
Well, I would say yes, they have been forgotten. The patriotism, obviously, our country is being ripped apart, and even the founding of our nation. I believe all of this attack against statues, whatever you might think about them, ultimately they're trying to rip down the Constitution. That's their ultimate goal, to tear down the Constitution. But the details have been ignored as well. I think what's surprising to me is that our nation is blind to the danger of the radical political ideology of Islam, which is to establish Sharia law. And all Islam ultimately seeks to establish Sharia, which would overthrow our constitutional republic. And now different Muslims may disagree on the timing and tactic of establishing Sharia and go about it different ways. And obviously the Islamic terrorists go about it in a different way than maybe more moderate. But they're all united on Sharia law, which is a danger to our freedoms as Americans. And I just see that our nation has not learned the real lessons of 9/11, is that we need to turn to Jesus Christ, and we need the salvation that only he gives. Like when the tower fell down in Siloam, you know, Jesus talked about towers that fell even in his day, and he said this: except you repent, you will all likewise perish.
Matt, I think that what you're saying there is fantastic. We talk a lot about Islam on this program, and we know that the president at that point got the nation going in a direction that actually took the nation away from considering the ideology of hate of Islam. But I want to go back.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but they told even President Bush over and over again, lied by saying that Islam is a religion of peace. I don't believe that it is.
It's not, Matt, because they say right within it. But I want to go beyond that, because God may have used Islam and terrorism there to get our attention. But what is, in your perspective, the greater problem that America has? Why did God perhaps use them? What is God trying to wake us up in this nation? Perhaps even the disaster today. What are we doing that demands that God gets our attention?
Well, we do need to turn to the Lord. I mean, in the book of Habakkuk was written with the impending doom of a great attack and destruction upon Israel of those Babylonian nations, you know. And it was, in wrath, Lord, remember mercy. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. In wrath, remember mercy.
Wow. So we need to turn from our idolatry. We need to repent and return to Jesus Christ as a nation if we want that true respect, unity, and reverence. And as Christians, we know that God is in control all the time. On September 11th, 2001, and today in 2017 on 9/11, God is still in control, and we need to make sure that we are giving him control of our lives. We'll be right back to talk about more of this when we come back in just a few moments.
You You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, I want to thank you for joining Sam Rohr, Dave Kistler, myself, Isaac Crockett. We are discussing the topic of 9/11 and asking if, as a nation, we have forgotten about it and the work that God accomplished through it. We're also trying to tie together a biblical perspective on the many natural disasters, or should we call them acts of God, that have been coming our way back to back as a nation. But first, I want to thank you for joining us and remind you that if you would like to listen to this program or other programs again from our radio show, you can see additional information, you can find out resources, and even share these resources and topics with friends by not only checking out our website, standinthegapradio.com, and of course, downloading our mobile phone app. But one of the best ways to share what this information is to follow us on social media so that you can stay up to date with the latest information. We're on Facebook and Twitter, and there's even some really neat resources set up on our YouTube channel as well. You can watch some videos of Sam and others that will help you give this information out to others. So by following our social media accounts, it will make it so easy to share this information. But as we get back to this topic, I'm so thankful for Pastor Matt Recker, who was with us on the last segment, and to hear firsthand what was going on in New York City and in his ministry. It reminds me, though, Dave, about what happened just a short time ago in your ministry. It reminds me of some of the attacks that you received just for pointing out who attacked us on 9/11. And you recently received this negative feedback because you and the Pastors Network of North Carolina put up a billboard reminding us of some of the facts of 9/11. Could you maybe talk to us a little bit about what happened there and the kind of rewriting of history that's going on, maybe the way people are viewing this incident?
Yeah, Isaac, I'd be glad to do that. Yeah, we decided to post a billboard that simply said this: why support President Trump's travel ban? And of course, anyone that knows anything about the travel ban knows that it's a temporary travel ban from what was intended to be 7 countries. It was cut back to 6 countries that are the hotbeds of jihadist training and the places from which jihadist terrorists are coming. And we just basically said, why support that? Because 19 Islamic terrorists killed 2,977 Americans on 9/11/2001. And that billboard was placed along a section of Interstate 40 just to the east of Hickory, North Carolina. The billboard technically only had about 4 seconds of sight time as you're driving at about 65 miles an hour down the interstate. And for about 2 days, there was really no response. And then someone drove by, saw it, and then the mill started turning. And I began getting calls from Charlotte area television stations wanting to do interviews. I didn't do all the interviews. I did just a couple and then did a multiplicity of radio interviews as well. But what happened, Isaac, is this. The leftists, the progressives got a hold of that. And for 72 hours nonstop, my phone rang about every 10 seconds. There were people that left messages on my phone, just venomous hatred. And then I would have to say the capstone of all of the hatred came in the form of a package that was sent to us that actually contained, encased in a plastic bag, human feces. And so, you know, they say we're the ones that are intolerant. We're not the ones that are intolerant. It tends to be those that come from that mindset that are intolerant. But all we did, Isaac, was simply state the facts as they exist, that 19 men committed to Islamic ideology perpetrated the most horrific act ever committed on American soil on 9/11/2001. And we have so tried to sterilize the truth and make it politically correct that you can't even say that without receiving enormous kickback from really stating the truth.
It's interesting. I was just reading an article, and in it, the author quoted George Orwell. And here's the quote that caught my attention. He said, "The most effective way to destroy people is to deny and obliterate their own understanding of their history." And Sam, following up with what Dave has just told us and informed us of, there are some groups of people and large groups of people who would like us to forget what happened when those young Muslim men attacked our Twin Towers and the Pentagon on 9/11. I don't know if we'll ever know exactly all the reasonings, but why would you think that some groups might want us to forget, and why even in many of our public school curriculums, they hide the fact that the terrorists were Muslims. And in fact, in some cases, in many college campuses, they actually blamed the United States for what happened on 9/11. What do you see as maybe going on behind the scenes that's causing this kind of rewriting of history, Sam?
Well, Isaac, what's at the heart of it, as we talk about on this program a lot, we stand in a gap today has a phrase underneath of it, it's standing a gap for truth today. The issue remains truth versus deception, truth versus lie, good versus evil, put it that perspective. That's all the way from the beginning of time. And so in the larger perspective, as the serpent in the garden, the devil in the form of an animal at that point came and said to Eve, "Hath God said?" I mean, he asked that question to get her to think, did God really say what he said? That was the first attempt to take and distort truth, God, what he said, and ultimately then to try and erase God. If the devil could, he would erase all concept of who God is. Why? Because that's what the devil is all about. He wants to replace God with the fact that he is a pseudo-God. Now, ultimately, we know he is the Antichrist. He's opposed to all that. Well, ultimately, that's what's really behind this, Isaac. And from the beginning of time through civilization, it's been about the matter of truth versus error. Are we going to do in society and government what God wants to really advance the plan of redemption, Jesus Christ? That's what history is all about. And all these efforts are an attempt to destroy that, take away from that, diminish that message, that hope of the gospel. And so the Twin Towers was nothing more than a later manifestation of what Hitler tried to do, which was a manifestation of what Mao Zedong had tried to do, what others of these who have been God-haters, deniers of Jesus Christ, have attempted to do down through history. And we're witnessing it played out today, Isaac. We really are. And perhaps the most visible manifestation of it is Islamic theology. It's not limited to that by any means. There's atheistic theology. But Islamic theology, which again, because we're talking about 9/11, as an ideology, a system of political governance, and Matt talked about it, the Sharia, the imposition of a law system that's counter to what God says. It's a complete counterfeit to all that is true and right. And that's why, as Matt accurately said, you have at the heart of it an attack against the Constitution, have an attack against Jesus Christ. And so if you can attack that, you can and you can eviscerate the biblical heritage that we have that underpins our government, then in fact you've taken a generation and remove from them any ability to defend themselves against enemies that would like to ultimately enslave us civilly in government. So that's what we're talking about. And so that's how I view these things. And that's what we should be rethinking. But we say 9/11. Boy, what was at hand? You know, an ideology that wants to eliminate God, eliminate Jesus Christ, eliminate America, eliminate Israel, eliminate our Constitution. This is an active fight. If we forget that, we will lose America.
And so, Dave, as Sam has mentioned, this is good versus evil. This is ideologies of different religions. And do you think, Dave, that it is appropriate for Christians to remember 9/11, maybe even holding special services or memorials at their churches? There are some who would accuse us for that, saying that that's hypocritical because the Bible teaches us to love our enemies and to forgive others. How do you see that, and what's the balance there?
Well, Isaac, I do believe it's very appropriate to hold memorial services. In fact, this evening, because it is the 9/11 anniversary, we're going to have a special commemorative service this evening. 10 minutes until the start of the service, we're going to have a video that will be a pictorial reminder of what happened on 9/11. And then we're going to do a tribute to our men and women who've worn the uniform of the United States military and have an appropriate honoring of them. And I don't think it's in any way antithetical to the fact that the scripture does implore us to love our enemies. It's not antithetical to that command for us to acknowledge that evil exists in this world, evil ideology exists, and I don't think there's any more evil and wicked ideology that could possibly come from the pit of hell than Islamic ideology. This is not hatred for individuals. This is loving people enough to tell the truth about the ideology that drove these 19 terrorists to do what they did on 9/11. Can we simultaneously love those who perpetrated the act while at the same time hating hating vehemently the ideology that drove them? The answer to that is yes. And that can only take place within the Christian faith. I mean, it really can. So no, it's not wrong to have these kind of memorials. It's not wrong to have these services to acknowledge the truth of what happened. I think it's fitting. I think it must be done because we now have a generation. I was reminded of this vividly last week as I spoke to teenagers on Friday, most of whom were not even alive 16 years ago when the 9/11 events occurred. They've seen pictures of it. They've heard discussions of it, but they didn't live through it. And the only way we're going to remember that there are people that want to end our constitutional way of life in America is an appropriate remembrance of it. So yeah, it's beyond fitting to do these things.
It's so interesting as we look at these ties to terrorism and to the religion that causes this terrorism. And we know as Christians that we should be turning to Jesus Christ, as Pastor Matt said, that this should be bringing us to repentance and bringing us to the truth out of love for those who even disagree with us, that they need Christ. They may not see it, but they need him. And so with all these things going on, the perilous times we live in, we need to find hope and peace. Where do we find it? Of course, we find it in Jesus Christ. When we come back, we'll be talking about how to have the hope, the peace, the assurance that we can have in Jesus Christ in these trying times as Christians, as believers, all the more a time for us to let our lights shine in this dark world in which we live. And if you're listening today and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, we would plead with you to please today make this the day that you remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ giving himself for us so that you can have hope no matter what happens in this world. Please stay with us. We'll be back to talk more about the hope and the solutions we have when we come back.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Hey, I'm Brant. Just read this news item about the two things that are stressing Americans out the most. Thought this was interesting. They say we're losing a record amount of sleep because of these two things. Number one, healthcare expenses. And the second thing, saving for retirement. The two biggest stressors. But what's remarkable? You can make a phone call right now and actually take action on both of these at once. Just call MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses, and it works beautifully. They've shared over $1 billion in healthcare expenses since 1993. Most members save about $500 a month compared to other healthcare plans. Imagine having a great healthcare plan and adding $500 for your retirement every month. One call, two less things to stress about, and that can help you sleep better at night. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, as we set up our last segment, it's hard to believe that we're already at the end of the program. It goes so fast, but we've been looking at so many things and seeing the weather, the natural disasters hitting us as a nation, as well as remembering the terrorist attacks that hit us as a nation 16 years ago on this date. We remember, though, that as Christians, we always have hope because our hope is in the Lord. And we want to look at how we should be responding to this in a biblical and a Christ-honoring fashion, how we can respond in a way that will allow us to win souls for Christ, even in the wake of these tragedies. And so, Sam, I want to ask you, what sort of things should we maybe be thinking of as Christians when we see these acts of God, really, and then compare that, you know, compiling that then with the wars going on, the rumors of nuclear war, how can these events give us hope as Christians while the rest of the world seeks to explain them away and even use these same events to push their agenda? What should be our biblical perspective on that?
Well, I think, Isaac, our attitude in response should be what God would desire our attitude to be, and that is that we consider the greatness of God, the smallness of our own selves, the fact that all we have comes from Him, and whether it is lost in a flood or lost in a fire, as Job said when he lost all he had, he said, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord." The attention was always the Lord, even for Job, when he had much and when he had nothing. That must be the attitude of God's people, that God is in control, and as a sovereign God, we can trust that what He is doing is for a broader and bigger picture. And I think that broader and bigger picture falls right smack into the whole purpose for life as we know it, and that is to manifest and ultimately work out God's plan of redemption, which is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. It was promised in the Garden of Eden when sin first came into the world and Adam and Eve walked away from the Lord and believed the lie of the devil, to the very day, to the very end time when the devil ultimately be locked up in hell for eternity. Until that very time comes, everything is about this history, this plan of redemption that God has crafted from the beginning and has been carefully working out to the detail. And when I look at these things, Isaac, I think of Matthew 24. I think when the disciples said, "Lord, what should we think about the time when you shall come again?" And the Lord gave a number of things. He talked about deception, started out with, which is really heavily obvious today, such great deception. But then he talks about wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, all these kinds of things. And I think the point I'm thinking about, Isaac, is that when Christ said these things, look for these signs, signs in the heavens, signs on the ground, all these things we're talking about, when you see all these things happening. And I think the uniqueness of the age in which we live is that really, truly, we are watching all of these things. Ages past may have seen an incident. There's always been earthquakes. There's always been volcanoes. There's always been other things, but not ever has there been all of these coming into play, and He marked it with the return of Israel in 1948, the budding of the fig tree. That was going to be the trigger that started all of these things, and so I am looking at all of these signs, Isaac, as occurring at one time, and that's the great thing about biblical prophecy. God doesn't fulfill it in pieces. He puts it all together, and He's putting it all together now. So I am looking up. I am longing to be with my Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, and I believe that that's what we should be thinking, and those around us who are wondering what's happening, this is the opportunity to say, "Hey, do you know what? I have hope because of Jesus Christ. You also can have hope. Can I tell you about Him?" I mean, that's really the object. And if that takes place, Isaac, then the light shines brightly in these days. And that's what God would have us to do, I think.
It's interesting, Sam, as you were talking about this, something came to my mind, a simple little saying that I've been teaching to my children over the last few weeks as I teach them doctrines, biblical beliefs in form of a catechism that they can understand. And there's a question that I ask my little children, and I say, "What is our only hope in life and death?" And they all respond to me, even my two-year-old, that we are not our own, but belong to God. And those possessions that are lost, they're not ours, they're God's, and even our lives are for God. If we've been redeemed through Jesus Christ, what a wonderful opportunity. And Dave, as an evangelist, you know, you and I were just talking about not long ago, you know, being Christ-centered, others-conscious, and gospel-oriented. Right now, we're seeing all these things going on. It's easy to be others-oriented, but how do we take our concern for them and turn it into opportunities to, in spite of these tragedies, witness to other people in these tough times? How can we respond when people look at us and say, "Well, where is God with all of this tragedy?" How can we respond by showing them what Sam was just talking about, the story of redemption?
Well, let me share with you something that happened just recently with a friend of mine. He had taken a friend of his who was injured in Iraq by an IED and is walking on crutches, took him to the Veterans Administration Hospital, and the two of them were sitting in the waiting room. And the injured friend had his crutches kind of extended out into the middle of the room a little bit. One gentleman got up, wasn't paying attention and kind of almost tripped over the crutches. And so the injured man pulled his crutches back, apologized. And the other guy said, hey, it's okay, not a problem. And so they began a conversation that ultimately resulted in the man who had been injured in Iraq sharing Christ with this other individual who almost tripped over his crutches. Well, at that point, the man who almost tripped said, well, if God is real and God is alive, why would he allow you to be injured and be on crutches? And without even batting an eye, this injured Christian said, so you could trip over my crutches and I could have an opportunity to share with you Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And it just silenced the man completely. So anytime there is a tragedy, whether it be a personal one or whether it's a natural disaster or whether it's something that happens of 9/11 proportions in our nation, an attack of that nature, we need to say to people, this is nothing less than God's mercy on display. We would never wish this on anyone. It is a tragedy. It's a crisis time. But even in this crisis time, even in the midst of these natural disasters, it is an opportunity that God is giving us to tell you about his love, and this need not be lost on you. You must respond to this and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And it's what the scripture says about even in God's wrath, he remembers mercy. And so I think what we need to do is see everything in that light and turn it toward an occasion to share the gospel. And if we do so, I think God's going to use it. In fact, I don't think I know. God will use it in a powerful way.
What an exciting testimony. Sam, as we near the end of our program here, can you take us to the Lord in prayer so that we can close this program praying for those lives that have been upended and changed by Hurricane Irma, those still recovering from Hurricane Harvey, those whose homes maybe have been affected by the wildfires, and then, of course, for our nation as we remember the attacks of 9/11.
Absolutely, Isaac. Heavenly Father, we are thankful to be able to come before you at this time on this program and join with tens of thousands of people across this country who are a part of this program listening and join together to ask, Lord, that those who are here, who are experiencing these things, particularly in our country, those who have lost much, Lord, would look to you, that you would meet their needs, that the Church of God in America would step up and step into this need, time of need, with great hope of Jesus Christ. Lord, we look for your soon return. We really do, because that's ultimately, Lord, why we're here. We're looking for you to come back. Come back even now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Sam and Dave, and a special thanks to our special guest, Pastor Matt Recker from New York City. Thank you for listening, and please pray for us here at American Pastors Network with all the different ministries we have. And we appreciate you listening to us and would ask you to make a decision to stand in the gap for the Lord today. Please tune in again tomorrow on radio, online, or on your smartphone app. Thank you so much. Let's pray for America.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.